With Christmas only 2 days away, many of us are putting the final touches on presents we'll share with those we love. Within our sphere of influence, however, are a number of others who desperately need a touch of Christmas grace. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will pose a convicting personal question. What gift can we give that doesn't require money to someone who doesn't deserve it? How can we reach out to the disregarded in our community with an expression of kindness that reflects the generosity of Christmas? Chuck titled today's message, Christ's Audacious Grace.
God is the one who astonishes us with His love, and Christ is the one who makes the announcement of His audacious grace. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ, and there's nothing that can demote me from the grace of our Savior. The same for you. It's called grace. Will you please, please begin to believe it? And while you're at it, will you please give others a break? Who may be weak where you're strong, but they're too kind to tell you you're weak where they're strong. Will you please back off the judgment? Would you please operate as if you heard this message and really believed this message? I began with two questions. I end with two suggestions and a story you'll never forget. First suggestion regarding love. Here's my suggestion. Express your words of love to someone who hasn't heard you say them, maybe ever or recently. Express your words of love to someone who has not heard you say them, either recently or maybe ever. Go ahead. God does it every Christmas and every day between, one Christmas after another. Why do I sleep with a free conscience? Because He says to me when I go to bed, I love you, Chuck. I love you. I love you with an infinite amount of love. I know, your day wasn't what you wanted to be, but I forgive you. You're mine. I forgive your wife. Why don't you forgive her? Why don't you do what I'm doing? Why don't you tell her how much you love her? So every once in a while, ideally every night, she'll either reach over or I'll reach over and I'll hear the greatest three words on the planet. I love you. I love you. That's my first suggestion. Here's the second with a story. Extend a touch of grace to someone who qualifies as among the least. Extend a touch of grace to someone who qualifies as among the least. I'll explain that, then I'll give you the story. Jesus said to a group of people who were following Him that there would be a special reward for those who care for those who are the least. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Who would be the least? People who really don't deserve it. People who haven't earned it and maybe couldn't even if they tried. Those that you have unfortunately written off. And may I go to a sensitive point? How about those who were congenitally born, unable to keep up? We call them special needs people. Last night we had a magnificent time at a special needs celebration. I love it that our church does this. One of the shining examples of the grace of our church is that we have such a healthy and growing wholesome ministry to those who are special needs. Children, teenagers, adults, even gray-haired adults who can't keep up. Last night we watched as they were on the platform singing their songs, those that were able to stumble up to the platform and take that series of five or six steps to get there with some help. We heard their sounds, we heard their shrieks, we heard their songs. Among them was our 17-year-old grandson named John, who is autistic. And he stood all alone with a microphone, and he sang, "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." At the end, "O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." Then by the second stanza, I lost it. And by the third stanza, most of us had. There he stood, singing with all his heart from the innocence of his life that we are to come and adore the Savior. Show grace there. Among the least, you have your own group. I could name mine. Teddy Stallard certainly qualified as one of the least. Disinterested in school, musty, wrinkled clothing, hair never combed, one of those kids in school with a deadpan face, expressionless, sort of a glassy, unfocused stare. When Miss Thompson, his teacher, spoke to Teddy, he always answered in monosyllables. Unattractive, unmotivated, unclean, and distant. He was just plain hard to like. Even though his teacher said she loved all her class the same, down inside she wasn't being completely truthful. Whenever she marked Teddy's papers, she got a certain perverse pleasure out of putting an X alongside the wrong answers. And when she put the F's at the top of the page, she did it with a flair. F. She should have known better. She had Teddy's records, and she knew more about him than she wanted to admit. The record read, "First grade. Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude, but poor home situation. Second grade. Teddy could do better. Mother is seriously ill. Receives little help at home. Third grade. Teddy's a good boy, but too serious. He's a slow learner. Mother died this year. Fourth grade. Teddy's very slow, but well-behaved. Father shows no interest at home." Christmas came, and the boys and girls in Miss Thompson's class brought her Christmas presents. They piled the presents on her desk and then crowded around to watch her open them. Among the presents there was one from Teddy Stallard. She was surprised he had brought her a gift, but he had. Teddy's gift was wrapped in brown paper, roughly taped together with Scotch tape. On the paper were written the simple words "For Miss Thompson" from Teddy Stallard. When she opened Teddy's present, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet, half the stones missing, and a bottle of cheap perfume. The other boys and girls began to giggle and smirk over Teddy's gifts, but Miss Thompson had enough presence of mind to silence them by immediately putting on the bracelet and splashing some of the perfume on her wrist, holding her wrist up high for the other children to smell. She said, "Doesn't it smell lovely?" And the children, taking their cue from the teacher, readily agreed with oohs and ahs. At the end of the day, when school was over and the other children had left, Teddy lingered. He slowly came up to her desk and said softly, "Miss Thompson, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And her bracelet looks real pretty on you. I'm so glad you like my presents." When Teddy left, Miss Thompson fell to her knees and asked God to forgive her. The next day, when the children came to school, they were welcomed by a new teacher. Miss Thompson had become a different person overnight. She was no longer just a teacher. She had become an agent of God. She was now a person committed to loving her children and doing things for them that would live on after her. She helped all of the children, but especially the slow ones, and especially Teddy Stallard. By the end of that school year, Teddy showed dramatic improvement. He had caught up with most of the students and was even ahead of some. She didn't hear from Teddy for a long time, and then one day she received a note, handwritten, that read, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, another note came. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know the university has been, it's been difficult, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come. I want you to sit where my mother would have sat if she were alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stallard." Miss Thompson went to that wedding, and she sat where Teddy's mother would have sat. She deserved to sit there. She had done something for Teddy that he could never forget. What can you give as a gift this Christmas? Instead of giving only something you buy, risk giving something that will live on after you. Be really generous with yourself. Give yourself to a Teddy Stallard, one of the least whom you can help to become one of the greats. I was the Teddy Stallard in my first year in high school. I stuttered so badly I couldn't release two sentences without it. I decided I would spend my life out of the way because I was embarrassed, especially to be in front of people. The Lord had other plans. A man who should have remained on Broadway, where he had been an actor professionally for years, chose to release that life and lifestyle and to give himself to high school students in a little place in East Houston called Milby High School. He found me in the hall one day and apparently had been following or listening to me, and he invited me to join his debate team and to be in his drama course. Dick Neamey taught both at Milby. And I thought he was talking to the athlete behind me, who was all everything. And I said, "Me?" He said, "Yeah. You've really got it." I said, "I know, but what have I got?" He said, "You've got it in you. You come in my class, I'll teach you how to speak." And he did. Day after day, through the summer and into the fall, he taught me how to speak. How to say it without stuttering. Did he make a contribution or what? Dick Neamey's gone now. I did his eulogy. And I thanked him for being one of the great Miss Thompsons on this earth, for seeing in me a nobody, someone who could become somebody. I wish Dick Neamey had lived till today. I would have him stand among you. But even your applause wouldn't be completely enough. I owe him my life, my whole career, because of the grace to give a little boy something he could never do on his own. He taught me that my mind was simply running ahead of my mouth. And I so perfected it, I have the opposite problem now. My question to you, what can you give as a gift to someone else? Instead of giving only something you buy, risk giving something that will live on after you. Be truly generous. Give yourself to a Teddy Stallard, someone who can't quite keep up. And when you do, give to one of the least, you will have become one of the great. Bow with me, please. This is a wonderful season of the year where giving is mentioned every day. But if we're not careful, we walk right past that person who bags your groceries at the check stand, or the one at school that you teach who's hard to love, or the athlete who keeps fumbling, or the child who can't cut all A's and does well to bring home C's, or your friend who failed in her marriage, or someone who was once close to you but now, for whatever reason, is distant. Give yourself to one of the least, and you'll model the Christmas message better than ever before. You become an agent of God. Your love will be astonishing. Your grace will be audacious. Remind us again and again, our Father, as these days run their course, of your astonishing love for us and Christ's audacious grace on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. Such a sweet sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. It was blind, but now I see. And so do we. And by your grace, so will others as they discover how much they're loved and what grace abounds from us to them. Help us, we pray, this season of the year to give what will never, ever be forgotten. In the name of the one full of grace and truth. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled Christ's Audacious Grace. Visit us online at insightworld.org. Just before we hear a closing comment from Chuck, I'd like to remind you about the critical importance of your financial support of Insight for Living before December 31st. We're calling on every listener to seek God's will, asking Him to guide you on what He's leading you to do. The opportunities before us are unprecedented to make disciples around the world, and we'd love to have you join us in fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus. We're passionate about telling others about God's audacious grace. The process for giving is quick and simple. You can give a donation right now by calling 1-800-772-8888 if you're listening in the United States, or go online to insight.org. Chuck?
Over the past few weeks, you've heard me describe the financial need facing Insight for Living Ministries. Before December 31st, we're asking God to provide double what we often receive at this time of the year. Humanly speaking, that amount is overwhelming. A number of consultants have stepped in with their advice, urging us to try their fundraising techniques and to deploy methods that, frankly, make us feel uncomfortable. Listen, we have always been transparent with you. Like a family, we've always allowed our loyal friends to hear only the truth about our financial needs. And so we refuse to use gimmicks to stimulate a response. So I'm coming to you today simply making the need known. Our ministry is growing faster than ever, and we're receiving invitations literally from all around the world to share our teaching as we make disciples. Vision 195 represents our calling to reach all 195 countries of the world with the life-changing message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've let the entire year slip by without giving a donation. Well, today would be the time for you to step forward. Or perhaps you're prepared to double the amount you gave last year. That would mean so much. Our prayer is that you give whatever God lays on your heart. Together, let's band together and give generously for the sake of the gospel around the world.
Choose one of two ways to respond to Chuck Swindoll. You can call right now 1-800-772-8888 if you're listening in the United States, or go online to insight.org. And when you give today, we'd like to send you a CD message from Chuck called What If God Chooses You to Do Something Great? If you're listening in the United States, call this number right now, 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Listen tomorrow, Christmas Eve, for a spectacular celebration in sacred music, brought by Chuck Swindoll and your friends at Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Christ's Audacious Grace, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.